Welcome to the Revival is Family podcast, where we discuss what God is doing on college campuses and the need for prayer, family, and revival. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Revival is Family podcast. It's so good just to be with you guys again. We have a really special guest for our podcast today. We have Miss Vicky Porterfield. She lives in Austin, Texas. I've gotten to know Vicky serving on a team with her with the Collegiate Day of Prayer for the last few years now, and she is a gem. And so I'm excited that you guys just get to hear and glean from some of the wisdom that comes from Vicky. So Vicky, can you just share a little bit about yourself, where you're from, what you're involved with? Give us a little info on you.
Yes, I am from Austin, Texas. Actually, I was born in Austin, Texas, but moved away, grew up in another Texas city until I went back to college there when I was 17. Mm-hmm. Went to the University of Texas in Austin. I became a believer during that time and have been following Jesus ever since. And my spiritual mom was actually involved in prayer ministry. So, you know, what happens is when your mom's in something, you kind of get involved in the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got involved with the prayer ministry and been active in at some level for a long time.
That's amazing. And then what led you to have a heart for college students, praying for campuses? How did that come about?
A couple of things. Well, one was, as I mentioned, I got saved when I was in college. Mm-hmm. So this was during the Jesus movement, late 60s, early 70s, wild, crazy days.
Were you living a wild, crazy life or just?
I was living a fairly conservative life.
Okay.
So I was pretty much following the guidelines and the right things, but for the wrong reasons. And I didn't have a reason. And then a speaker came on campus and talked about the intellectual approach to religion. And I mm-hmm. thought, okay, I'm an intellectual. So I'm going to go there and hear what he has to say. Mm-hmm. He later turned his book, Josh McDowell, into Evidence That Demands a Verdict. But I heard those stories and I went, okay, this is a God that I want to know. So I accepted Christ my freshman year.
Wow.
And have been following him ever since.
Wow. So you alluded, this was during the time of the Jesus movement. And, you know, we hear about that. We hear how it was a revolutionary time. But I would love, could you just give us a little bit of the snapshot of what it was to live during those times? What was the climate on campus like? You mentioned a little bit, protesting, burning flags. But what was everyone so angry or worked up about in that time? And how did this revival change the landscape?
Okay, this was during the Vietnam War.
Okay.
And so many of my peers said, you know, were drafted and protested the draft. Mm-hmm. It was also a time where drugs were prevalent. Mm-hmm. So marijuana was common. Other drugs were maybe not as common, but easily accessible on an university campus. Professors kind of thought outside the box, were fairly liberal. Students would protest and the government would come in mm-hmm. and even at one university shot students and
wow.
killed four students at Kent State.
Wow.
And this created a huge revolution, much like what we're seeing in racial riots now.
Sure,
but, you know,
yeah.
when the government comes in and shoots real bullets and kills college students. It was very harmful, and that just made everyone even more angry. Mm-hmm. People distrusted all institutions, so did not trust government. Our generation did not trust government, didn't listen to parents, mm-hmm. Didn't listen to anyone in authority. So it was a rebellious time. It was a rebellious generation. The pill had been developed, so now women could have free sex. Now women could have sex and not get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And so you had a kind of a sexual revolution at the same time. The cover of Time magazine said, God is dead, you know,
wow.
because people were leaving traditional churches in droves. It was a time of anarchy and rebellion really at the peak. And then lo and behold, and starting California, people start getting saved. Mm-hmm. And I remember people would come in, young people would come in off the beach to Chuck Swindoll's church. And, you know, he would say, the elders were like, oh, sorry, you're not dressed properly. Let me give you a jacket. Let me give you real shoes. And Chuck Smith, Chuck Swindoll, both of them said, no, just let them come in. You know, let these young people come as they are. We had Beatles music, and a lot of rock music came in during that time. Mm-hmm. And basically rebelled against this institutions. What was right and proper didn't work with us, with our generation. And so we just kind of broke from all that.
And so what do you think it was about the gospel or Jesus that attracted people in that time? Was there a central message like Jesus is hope or anything like that? Or it was just the Holy Spirit moving?
Well, it was definitely the Holy Spirit moving.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, it was just, Jesus was the topic of conversation. I mean, you know, you could go to a dorm room and talk about Jesus. You know, you would go places and talk about Jesus. You didn't go to church and talk about Jesus because mm-hmm. there was still a distrust of the traditional church.
Right.
So it was definitely the Holy Spirit. But there was something about the reality of Jesus Christ and the peace movement and the love movement, you know, and love your brother and mm-hmm. love one another and the flower children and all of those kinds of things. And they realized, you know, where does this love come from? It doesn't come from a church or a government. And families were starting to see more working women. And so families are becoming more disjointed. Mm-hmm. So a lot of young people didn't even feel like they got love from their families.
Right.
So as young people were reaching out and saying, hey, I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. They found it in Christ. They found the genuine love in Christ and in brothers and sisters. That's what drew people to Jesus. So you had time of the hippies, you know, and so mm-hmm. we all wore mini skirts. I had my long straight hair. Y'all can't see me, but my hair was naturally curly. And of course, we all had long hair, and you couldn't have curly hair.
We need pictures next time, Vicky.
We ironed it on an ironing board.
Oh my
roommate would iron my hair. I'm not kidding you. And we wore really, really short skirts. But that was kind of the way it was. Unless we wore bell bottoms. But
So styles were unique. So you were saved during this time.
Yes.
Help me understand. You dressed like a hippie. Was just that something everyone did?
Everyone did.
So whether you were one of the flower child or not, this was just a culture. Everyone dressed in such a way.
Pretty much, yes.
Got it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fascinating.
Lots of flowered clothes.
Tie-dye too, right?
Lots of tie-dye.
How do you feel now as things are coming back?
I think they stole my clothes, you know? And I listened to the Beatles music and I listened to music and my daughters or grandchildren play these songs. I'm like, wait a minute, that's my music.
That's so funny.
My generation. How did they steal my songs? Now they're stealing the designs of our clothes, you know?
That is so funny. That's funny. Wow.
So then as I matured in the Lord and went through all kinds of leadership and did stuff in my church, I got involved with a ministry that said, Vicky, there's a big conference happening in Europe and it's being done through Campus Ministries, which was Campus Crusade at the time, or CRU. And it was a large event in Germany. And they said, we're going to have teams that go and pray 24/7. So would you be willing to come and be one of the team leaders? I said, yes. So I, you know, bought my ticket to go to Germany and off I went and learned what it was to do prayer for an event. So I shortly after that, I got involved with the ministry in Austin. They wanted to join with a group out of Baylor mm-hmm. and this Austin Baylor Waco connection. We're going to do a conference called Passion Conference. Mm-hmm. And they said, we need prayer coverage. Does anyone know how to do that? And they said, call Vicky Porterfield. So I went in and said, okay, yeah, I can set this up. And so I did. And you know, I tried to explain to people what we were doing, but nobody understood it. Nobody wanted to go to, nobody my age, older, wanted to go to a college conference. I didn't understand what it was. Mm-hmm. Passion was not popular. And all of the people who spoke and all of the people who led worship were no names. Mm-hmm. You know, no one had heard of, you know, Matt Redman or Chris Tomlin or David Crowder, or nobody had heard of, you know, even a Beth Moore, mm-hmm. or John Piper. I mean, not all, all of these people were, you know, no names. And although our hero at the time, Bill Bright, spoke at the first conference, talked about the Holy Spirit. So I began to, you know, work with Louis Giglio and build prayer teams, and mm-hmm. did that for 18 years.
That's amazing. Yeah. You shared recently about this prayer gathering that happened in your city, in Austin, recently. And I'd love for you to share that because it's incredible.
It's incredible. So I want you all to listen to this because this happened about maybe a month ago. Mm-hmm. We were told by the police, actually, some friends of ours that work for the police department, that they were expecting large crowds of protesters to be bused into the city. And the purpose of these protesters, they would be carrying guns. They would be walking down our main street, which is Congress Avenue. And the goal was to stay on Congress Avenue and to start a chop zone, just block off part of Congress Avenue and close it to the public, mm-hmm. and destroy the buildings and the businesses around there and not allow the police in and that kind of thing. And it would be guarded by people with weapons. Mm-hmm. And I heard this story, and immediately in my spirit, I went, nope, not in my city.
Yeah.
Not on my watch. Not here. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I'm with other groups of intercessors. We talked about it, went, no, this is not happening here. When is it expected to happen? They said, tonight, today. Wow. Oh, great. We don't have much time to prepare. They said, we don't even know where these protesters, these were angry protesters. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking civil disobedience.
Right.
Where would this happen? And they said, I know where it will happen. Last week, a week before, there was a man who was murdered in a protest on Congress Avenue at 4th Street. Oh. And so I bet you that's where the protest will be. Because spiritually, when a person is killed, when there's a murder, it opens the door to the enemy and allows the enemy to come in with his demonic forces and darkness. So I said, that's where it will be, because they will have authority in that place. Mm-hmm. So someone said, what do we do? Where do we go? And I said, we have to go right to that place. And I said, we need to pray. We need to worship. We need to make some declarations and some intercessions. We need to read the word. We got on a call that it was noon. We said, at 2 o'clock, we'll meet you downtown. So there were about maybe 12, 14 of us, mm-hmm. went there. There was a small memorial set up at that at the corner where this gentleman had passed away. It was in the afternoon. It was very hot, Carol. It was 102 degrees.
Oh my,
it was so hot.
That Texas, you know, heat.
Yeah, Texas heat. But fortunately, we were kind of canty-cornered diagonally across the street from this memorial. We could stand under this archway and pray from that place and to restrain evil. You know, the scripture says that we are called as believers to restrain evil, to hold back, mm-hmm. the darkness.
Sure.
So we're going to hold back the darkness from our city. So we go there. So about after we sing and we pray, and we actually give communion to the land. Do you know what that is?
Never heard of communion to the land.
There, we are going to ask God for forgiveness, mm-hmm. for the murder that has taken place there. We're not saying we're responsible or not responsible. Mm-hmm. We're just going to ask forgiveness for what has happened there. And so what we're going to do is we found a little place of dirt, and we're going to pour a little grape juice, little cracker, mm-hmm. and we're going to pray a prayer of forgiveness, mm-hmm. and ask God to heal the land that has been defiled by the murder, by the, mm-hmm. blood. Mm-hmm. So we do that, and we sing Amazing Grace, but there are a bunch of people hanging around there, And we find out that the person who had been killed there was a friend of the homeless. So there's many of the homeless that were standing at that corner. So I go back across under the bank tower. And while I'm there, only half the group comes. The other half stay there talking to all the homeless and talking to the people who are bringing flowers and talking to the people who are putting signs up. And I'm like, and in my mind, I'm thinking, why don't they come back over here with us? Don't they know we have prophetic declarations to make? We've got prayers to pray. We've got things we have to say. And what are they doing? They're just praying with all those folks. And boy, did God correct me. Wow. In my spirit, it was like the Lord said, and Vicki, who's to say that my works of mercy are any less important than your work of prayer and declaration?
Wow.
I said, okay, God, I'm going to let them do their mercy, minister to people, invite them to Jesus, share Christ with them, love on them, and we're going to stay diagonally across the street, and we're going to declare and proclaim and stand up and shout. So that's what we were doing. And then after a few minutes, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, the group from across the street came, and so now there's 12 of us, and we are melting in this heat.
Yeah.
And these are some of the prayers we prayed. I said, Lord, there's shame that has come to our city. Lord, I want you to roll back the reproach. It says in scripture, you can roll back the shame. I'm asking you to roll back the reproach. The other thing is I said, Lord, we need revival in our city. We want it to come in wave after wave. Just let it keep coming and coming, not just a one-time thing. Just bring it in waves. And then someone said, I want the cleansing streams of the Lord to come. And I want the water freshening, the cleansing of Jesus to come over our city, down the streets of our city. Let it just cleanse our city.
Mm-hmm.
So we began to pray this, and someone began to pray from one of the scriptures. And at that moment, there was the loudest clap of thunder I've ever heard. Wow. In fact, I've talked to some of my friends since then. I said, have you ever heard louder thunder? They said, no. I mean, it was so loud. It was just bam, so loud. We dropped the things that were in our hands. We looked at each other. We were like, whoa. I thought it was literally 3 feet from me. And someone said, I think God said something to us. Let's go back and read that scripture again, because we were reading the Bible from the Psalms.
Yeah.
Go back and read that scripture. And the particular verse was crying out to, oh, God of our salvation, restore us. And we said, okay, God, we get it. You spoke with that kind of thunder. And then after the loud thunder, it began to rain.
Wow.
And it rained so hard. And the rain started coming in sheets. And we could see the rain coming like in waves and sheets across the buildings from downtown. And we were like, there it is, the cleansing rain. There it is, the rain that is going to change our city. There it is going down the streets of our city. That's the rain of the Lord. So we were like, oh my goodness, the things we are praying, God is answering us as we pray it, literally as we speak. And we were just overwhelmed and knew that God had heard our prayer. And that night, well, so we finished, ran back in the rain. By the way, it rained 2.5 inches in about 30 to 40 minutes.
Wow.
I mean, it poured down right.
Yeah.
And so we just knew that that was a sign from the Lord. We went back home knowing that our work was done. We had played our piece. Now, I know by then Christians from all over, even the country, but for sure our region and churches had heard about the incoming protest. And so they were all praying. So I know it wasn't just our prayers that accomplished the work.
For sure.
But I do know Jesus answered us in a very, very profound way. And so we we knew how important it was to be in a place of righteousness and to cleanse the land from being defiled. And so that night, the protest began, and we had asked for God to give the police force wisdom in what to do, give them a strategy. Their strategy was they did not come in on foot at all. They came in on horses and a few on bikes. So as I watched the video from the news that evening, the horses were led by this white horse, and this white horse, they made a V, the police horses, and just penetrated the crowd through with that white horse. And we went, okay, God, we see this as another sign that you're giving us, that that white horse is going before them, and just dissipated the crowd. There, between the different groups that came to protest, there was tremendous arguments, calling each other a lot of really curse words. And we had prayed for confusion among the enemy's camp. And sure enough, there was much confusion. So, and where did, guess where their parade and protest start? Fourth in Congress. And I'm like, yep, we knew it would, because that's where they felt they carried some authority because of the murder that had taken place at that corner. So we learned a lot. We learned a lot. It eventually kind of dissipated. The next day, they began at a different location and went down Congress from a different direction and ended up going to the police department. But by the time they got to the police department with their protest, there was like seven or eight people left. I mean, it just dissolved.
Wow.
And so all of the things we had prayed. And then, of course, we asked God to bring peace to our city. Peace and shalom to our city. That we would not, you know, release our city from a covering of righteousness. And that, God, we wanted justice in our city. We wanted the right things, the things that were wrong, to be made right. And so we have not had a day of protest since that day. It's, I guess it was the first week of August. So what has that been? 7 weeks maybe that we've had every weekend and every weeknight has not seen protest.
Wow.
So we feel like the Lord really has answered the prayer of the body of Christ. All to say, Carol, we have to stand up for our cities. We can't just sit and watch things on television. And hear the negative reports. We have to stand up and say, God, you hear us.
For sure.
God, you want to act on our behalf. We are going to stand together as believers and pray, asking you to show up, asking you to work in a powerful way. So that's... that was one of our answers to prayer so far.
Powerful. That's amazing. That's amazing, Vicky. Thank you for sharing that. I hope you guys were all encouraged and really, like Vicky said, empowered to be an intercessor in your city, that we're each in a certain location for a purpose. And so I hope you guys are encouraged. Vicky, thank you for sharing. Thank you for just letting us glean a little bit into your own prayer life. Thank you for being a part of our podcast, and we'll have you guys next time on our Revivalist Family Podcast.